Today is February, again, first Sunday in February. This is Stewardship Month, as always, here at Fellowship Baptist Church, always through February. Our theme this month is what the Bible teaches about. We're going to talk about the church. We're going to talk about God. We're going to talk about, of course, giving and also witnessing this month. Today, we're going to talk about what the Bible teaches about the church. I'm thankful for the church, aren't you? I'm glad we have an assembly together. We can come and worship the Lord and grow in the Lord and do work for the Lord, service for Him, while we have the opportunity and the time today. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians, first of all, chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Before we read today, let's pray once again. Father in heaven, we're grateful for life. We thank you now for this opportunity we have once again to assemble together in your house. Dear Lord, I thank you for each one that's come. I pray, Lord, again for Brother Anderson, his wife. God, keep them safe as they travel. Lord, please comfort their hearts and their loved ones, Lord, during this time of loss. And others, Lord, that may be here that have loved ones that are sick, like a preacher's mother, I pray for her. Lord, others, Lord, that have had problems or having problems now, we lift up to you, dear God. We thank you, Lord, that we're here, we're alive, and we're able, Lord, to once again open your word together. And I pray, Lord, now as we do it, that the Spirit of God will be our teacher. He will lead and guide us, Lord, this month as we focus upon stewardship, how we're to be found faithful, and God, in serving you and doing what you laid on our hearts and called us to do. And we look forward to the missionaries every Sunday night, God, and what you're doing through them. And Lord, now we commit this day to you, and especially this service, this hour. Lord, may you be honored and glorified in all we say and all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, a couple verses here, as we focus upon the church today, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse number 33 of chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14, 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Notice, as in all what? Churches of the saints. Now look at verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. The word church appears 114 times in the Bible in reference to the local church that we have today. So we find the church is very, very important here. And turn back to chapter 12. We'll be there in just a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But the church is to be distinguished today from the world. Maybe I should say the church is to be sharply distinguished from the world. There should be a difference in the church when you come to church than when you're out in the world. Amen. I'm thankful we have a place to come to assemble as the church to take us away from the world or out of the world temporarily for just a few minutes. That we can focus on something that is good, something that is decent, something that is honorable to God. And not have our minds filled with the things in the world that the world offers us, which is not good. But the church is to be distinctly different from the world. The church also is a born-again assembly of believers that have been, we call, regenerated, called out of the world, apostle, into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is hostile to us today. The world doesn't like us today because we have a message that they don't want to hear, but they need to hear. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. So the church. The church is also to confront the world with the reality of a coming judgment one day. Judgment day is coming. The Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this what? The judgment. The judgment is coming. And we're to confront the world with this today and let them know. You know, they're going to face judgment one day just like we are. Even as believers, we're going to stand at the bema ourselves. But we see here, the church is very important to God. The church should be very important to us. And if you're saved, I know it is, because you're here today in Sunday school, and we appreciate you being here. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to begin reading with verse number 12. As we see here in the time we live, the dispensation called grace, we find here the church is referred to as a living organism. of God's nature. God's nature. A living organism. Notice in chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse number 12, these are familiar verses to us. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, and it hath pleased him. And if there were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And these members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, the church. We see here as he describes the church here, Paul does, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now we know a Baptist church consists of, a group of born-again, immersed people, members, who worship, who observe biblical ordinance, and also serve according to the Scriptures. They do what the Scriptures insist us to do and direct us to do. The church is the bride of Christ, talked about in the Word of God. We also see that before the resurrection of Christ, there was no physical evidence of a church before his resurrection. The true church today rejoices faithfully in God's teaching, God's Word. We enjoy being with God's Word and also obeying the Lord Jesus Christ and what he commissions us to do in the Word of God. Now, I want you to turn back to the book of Acts. Let's look at the first church, the book of Acts today, and chapter number 2. Did you realize it's more easy to disobey God than it is to obey him? Just like our human nature. It takes more energy to disobey God than it does to obey God, just to do what we ought to do. Just like it takes more energy to disobey our parents than it does to obey them. You know, it just takes more energy to disobey, period. But we see this today. Now, in Acts chapter 2, we find here a description of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see here what he's speaking to us about, and let's look at some of the things that are evident in the church. And I want us to look today at this church and look at our church today, or the church in the world today, and see a little comparison of what's taking place since almost all these years have elapsed. First of all, let me say that, you know, the church is a timeless service. It's a timeless. In other words, the church doesn't change. It doesn't change. Now, notice in chapter 2 of Acts, look at verse number 37. Verse 37. Let's go back to verse 32 to get the content here. Then Jesus hath called, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, verse 37. This is what Israel must do. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And we notice here, as they heard these words, they were pricked in their hearts. In other words, they were convicted. They were convicted in their hearts of what they were hearing here. And they said, as Peter spoke here, and he says in verse number 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We see here, verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We see here in verse 38 and verse 39, the commands from Peter. He says, you are to repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins in your life, you see, and you shall receive the gift, that is the Holy Ghost, which will come in you. And then this is the promise unto you, unto your children, you know, that as many as are in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the promise Peter has given to them. This is the command from him. Now notice in verse number 40, the challenge. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. This is a challenge. You're living in a wicked world, Israel. You live in a world that don't want to hear about me. But it's your job. It's your job to do this. Now notice also verse 41. Verse number 41 here. We see what happened. Then they that gladly received his what? His word, notice, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls because of the preaching of Peter. Now Peter's changed, hasn't he? God's changed Peter, I should say, you know, as he's preaching now. And we see here the conversions here. So we see the conviction that was brought, the commands that were given, the challenge, and also now we see the conversions that have come forth because of the preaching of Peter. Now, let's look at the first church here. Here it is. They preach the word. There's conviction, okay? There's results because of the preaching of the word. We find here this is the first church. Now, notice here, their communion, their unity here. In verses 42 through verse 47, we find this about the church. Things they did as a result of being saved, as a result of trusting Christ as Savior, what they did. Notice, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Four things are mentioned in that verse that they did. Here, they had Bible study, they had fellowship, they had they had prayer, And also, it was the breaking of bread. All these things came about because they got saved, because of the preaching of the word, because of Peter standing up and doing what God would have him to do. Notice also something else about the first church. In verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Many things happened because of the apostles, because fear came upon the people. Fear came upon the people. You know, it's a sad day in which we live because I don't see much fear of God, do you? Not much fear of God. But these people feared God. They feared God. They feared God because they saw what God was doing in the life of Peter and the apostles. They saw evidence in their lives that they had been with God and they were different because of God in their lives. we see fear came upon them. Notice verse 44. And all that believed were what? Together. They had all things common. Those that believed were together. Unity. We find here in the church, you see, because of this, we see this taking place here in verse number 44. They were all together, as the Bible teaches us. They were sharing, they were caring for one another. Sharing and caring. You know, it's so important to do that today as believers, to learn to share and to care about one another. You know, you may know somebody, I may know somebody that's hurting. You know, we need to reach out to them, do something for them. You know, he's talking about Brother Anderson. I'm not asking you to do this, but I think it'd be good for you and I both to do this, is send him a card. Send him a card. Just let him know we're praying for him, we're caring for him. You know, that means so much to people that are hurting. It really does. I've been there, and I received cards from the church family, and it helps. It's something that just encourages you when you reach out and care about someone else. This church cares for one another. They care for one another. They really do. I'm not saying fellowship is not a caring church, okay? I'm not saying that at all, because we are. I'm saying sometimes we just need to reach out. We just need to reach out when we hear about someone like Brother Anderson and what he's going through in his life at this time. So we see that they had all things common. Notice in verse 45, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. In verse 45, we find here in verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They worshiped together. They worshiped together here. And then we find in verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They praise God. They worship God together, having favor with one another. You know, sometimes we just need to sit down and praise God, don't we? We just need to sit down and thank Him for what He's done today. What He's done. Listen, we have a beautiful day to be able to come to God's house, don't we? It's not snowing. There's no ice out there. God has opened the door for us to be here. Well, by the way, where were you at Wednesday night? But the Lord has given us an opportunity once again today to be in God's house. You know, and I'm thankful for that today. I miss church when I'm not here. When it's time to be here and I ain't able to be here for some reason, I miss it. And I know you do. I know you do because you're the faithful bunch that always comes. But we see here, church, what it has been in the past. But now today, look at church. What is it today? You know, I like to convey this thought to you this morning as we look just a few minutes at the church, hearing what it was and what it is today. I like for church to still be church, don't you? Regardless of what the world may say, what the world may do, I like for church to still be church. Still be church. We find it very good. You know, we're living in a world that is forcing change upon every one of us. At the workplace, at the grocery store, at the bank, it doesn't matter where you go in this world, they're always forcing a change on you. Something has changed in their system, something has changed in the way they do business, and all this. We're having to deal with that all the time in our lives, as every one of us in our lives. But you know, we today, we need, as a people, we need to connect with something that is firm and something that is enduring. I'm speaking about the church. The church is firm and also enduring, it should be. Sad to say it's not in many situations. We're blessed here to have a church that is. We're blessed here to have a church that is faithful. We believe, first of all, that Jesus Christ designed the church. Turn with me to Matthew 16. Jesus Christ designed the church. And He designed the church to feel like church. Feel like church. Convey this thought to you in your mind. Still church. Still church. You know, when we walk in these doors, what are we thankful today? That this is still church. It's still church. It's firm, okay? It hasn't changed. Still church. You'd be surprised today, and I would too, of people that walk in a quote, church, and the Bible is never open. There's no teaching. There's no preaching. Most of it is a praise and worship service. I've known people to go to, quote, church. They stand up and sing the whole hour. Walk out and leave empty. You know why? Because they never received anything from the Word of God. It's the book. It's the Word of God that's going to give us what we need. What we need, you see. Still church. I'm thankful today that we still have church. We see in Matthew chapter 16, look at verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Notice, here's Simon Peter again. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What an answer. What an answer. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord Jesus Christ established the church. He wants it to feel like church. I'm thankful we don't come to church and it feels like a rock concert. I'm thankful when we come to church, it's not a comedian club. It's not just a motivational speaker. You know, we come to church for the right reason. We come to the right place to hear from God, don't we? I'm thankful today for the church. It's not old-fashioned, as in 50 years ago. The church is still up to date. It's timeless. It's timeless. The church is. Thank God today for the church. Now, the first thing I want us to remind us about church is still church. It's still church when there is still preaching. Preaching. Apart from preaching, as far as I'm concerned, I haven't been to church. I haven't been to church. Because I want to hear from God. I want to hear from God. And the only way I hear from God is for this word to be opened and read to me and instructed to me and preached to me or proclaimed to me. I want to hear from God. Still preaching. You'd be surprised again today. The churches that people that have, there's never the Word of God open to them. They'll never preach to. They'll never preach to. I like preaching. You know, I'm thankful that I've discovered a long time ago the benefit of Bible preaching. I need it, folks. You may not, but I do. I need to hear the preaching, hard preaching from the Word of God. I need to be told what I'm not doing, what I ought to do. I need to change my life. Preaching changes us if we accept it from God. Preaching is so important. Straight from the Bible makes a lasting change in us if we'll hear the Word of God. More so than comedy, more so than drama, more so than any motivational speaker you ever have. It's the preaching of the Word of God that changes us and enables us to be what we ought to be. And it's missing in a lot of churches today, folks. It's missing in a lot of churches today. The preaching. Preaching to some people is boring, it's dry, and it's irrelevant. Reminded of the guy that went to church one night, the first time he ever been to this church. He went and the service was going on, and before the service ended, the pastor says, after the service tonight, we're going to have a meeting with the board in the back. So the service was closed, and they gathered in this room, and they all gathered there. And I noticed this visitor had walked back there with them and was in the midst of all those people. And the pastor said to the man, says, sir, says, can you explain why you're here? He said, yes, sir. He said, you said before you missed the service that you were going to have a meeting with the board, and I'm here. Did you get it? He was bored. He didn't get anything, you know. I'm afraid some of us are that way at church, aren't we? We don't get anything. You know why we don't get anything? It's not the preacher's fault. That's It's our fault. Because we're not prepared to get anything. You know, listen, you ladies, if you don't make a list to go to the grocery store, what are you going to do? Chances are you're going to spend more than you should spend, right? And you're not going to get what you want to get, are you? Well, same thing applies to church. If we're not ready, if we don't have our, quote, list, so to speak, our minds ready, we're not going to get anything from God. And you know, if we get anything from God, you know where it's going to come from? The preaching of the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God. That's what we need. That's what we need more than anything else. We know that preaching is simply communicating an important truth from the Bible. Communicating an important truth from the Bible. That's what preaching of the Word is, you see. We see that our message has not changed. Our message has not changed. We're preaching Christ and Him crucified right on. Right on, we're preaching. Preaching should be Bible-centered. Bible-centered. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Preaching the Word of God. I love to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Brother Brian and I were blessed this past Monday to go down and hear some preaching. It was very good, and I enjoyed every minute of it. I really did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 17. First Corinthians 1, verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to what? Preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You say, well, I'm not called to preach. Well, you're not called to be a pastor, but you're called to share the Word of God. In essence, you are called to preach, really, to present the Word of God, proclaim the truth from the Word of God. They were, verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The Bible says here, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Thank God for preaching. Preaching the Word of God. Preaching might seem to be offensive sometimes, and it is to sensitive ears. People that have sensitive ears. Preaching is offensive. Preaching should be offensive sometimes. It should get on our toes sometimes, should it not? Because we need to recognize sometimes we need help. We need help. Preaching. You know, I'm so glad today that the power of preaching never changes. If you turn your radio on 1590 AM, every day at 9 o'clock, it's very evident of that. Oliver Green, preaching for probably 25, 30 years ago when these messages were recorded, is just as relevant today as he was standing in front of us today preaching the Word of God. Amen. There's something about the preaching of the Word of God. It's the power that's in the Word of God, you see, that we need to change our lives and help us daily to be what we ought to be. Oh, I thank God for a church that still preaches. Amen. Preaches the Word of God, folks. I would not stay in a church that don't preach the Word of God. I wouldn't even be there. I might, if I happen to go there because I'm visiting sometime or another, but I sure would not move my membership there. I would not stay there if the preaching of the Bible is not going on. I have no need to be there. What good is it to me? What good is it to me? I don't go just to fellowship. I don't go just to get on a high. I want to hear from God. I want to hear the Word of God to convict me of my heart and help me to see what I need to be doing and that I'm not doing, you see. Well, thank God today for the preaching of the Word of God. The church still should preach the Word of God. Number two, this church also should still be reverent. God's house should be reverent. God should be reverent. You know, it's sad today. American culture has become obsessed by casual. Casual. It's in businesses, it's in schools, in courtrooms. Everywhere you see today, it's casual, 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 casual. I'm sick of it myself. Especially when it comes to God's house. This is a place that needs to be reverenced. This is a place that God deserves the best, folks, of what we have. And we need to reverence God's house by our actions, by the way we dress, what we do, what we say, all that we do. This is God's house, and we need to reverence God's house. We need to still reverence God today. Each of these people today, not all of them, but a lot of businesses and situations have gone casual. They have already lived to regret it. They've already lived to regret it because they changed, you see. Thank God for a church that doesn't change. We reverence God. You ladies reverence God by the way you dress. Thank you. The men reverence God by the way we dress. Now, we may not wear our suit and tie. That's okay. Wear the best you got and just reverence God when you come to God's house. I thank God for a church that still reverence church, still reverence His house, still preaches His word. That's what we need today, folks, because there's so much forceful changing out there that's forced upon us to change. That's all we hear. That's all we see, is it not? But thank God the church should not be. It should not be that way. We still believe that the presence of the Holy God deserves our attempt to express respect and reverence. And we notice also, because it affects and also reflects our hearts and our attitudes when we're not. When we don't reverence God, His house, and reverence God, it reflects our attitudes and also our hearts. Our hearts. Isn't it refreshing? Isn't it refreshing to reverence God, His house? I'm going to say this. I say it from the heart of love. It blesses my heart to see a lady dressed like a lady. It really does. It's refreshing to me. It's refreshing to me. And when we go out there in the world, we see the opposite. I don't know. It's just something that just, I don't know. It's, to me, it's disrespectful. It's not being who they are. A lady should be a lady. A man should be a man. Therefore, we find reverence is so important. Also, still exciting. I'm glad the church can still be exciting. Listen, we have the greatest news in the world to tell. That Jesus Christ died for you. He loves you. It's still exciting. It always should be exciting, you see. Timeless practices that stir the soul come from the church. It should be excited. We see entertainment and true worship don't produce the same results, folks. Entertainment and true worship does not produce the same results. It can't. It's like oil and water. It won't mix, Sam. But Sam, it won't mix. Entertainment and true worship. The church can be exciting, maybe I should say, without the latest fads to start the crowd off. It don't take that. It takes the Word of God. It takes the Word of God under the anointing of the Spirit of God to make it excited. The churches also should be still family. I'm thankful for the families we have in this church, the young and the old. Someone asked me one time, y'all have any young people to come to your church? I said, yes, we do. You have any old people come to your church? Yes, we do. Thank God we still have a variety, a family here in the church. That's the way it ought to be. We see the family has been redefined, though, in America, hasn't it? And there seems to be no absolute standards, but the church teaches those standards. That's why we come to church, to get the standards of the family that we need to hear, that we need to know. So we're talking about still preaching, still reverence in God's house, still exciting, still family. The traditional Bible definition of the home, I'm afraid, has become a minority in our world in which we live. The biblical plan still works, though, when people work the plan. It still works when the people work the plan. Still hymns. I like to sing the hymns, don't you? I don't like to sing these 7-Eleven songs. You know, over and over and over and over and over and over again. You're getting all excited. Just pumping you up. Get you excited. Listen, that does nothing to your soul. That does nothing to the inner man, the spiritual man that was in you. I'm glad when we stand up and sing, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. I like those songs, don't you? Because they give me substance to me that I need to hear. You know, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. I love those songs because they have a message in them. Thank God today for the still hymns that we have. Church doesn't sound like church anymore in most places. They just don't. Today has been, the words have been reworked. The music has been changed so that don't mean what it used to mean. It don't mean what it used to mean. Still hymns. I'm glad we have hymn books in these pews. I'm glad we don't, you know, listen, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But when that takes the place of that, that's when it's wrong. Educators will tell you, they'll tell you this. Most learning and participation comes when you give a child a what? A book. That's when they learn more, by giving them a book. That's why they're not learning much today, because they don't have books in schools. All they have is computers and all this stuff. You know, is my time run out? What time is it? I'm going over here. I know there's people walking around everywhere. I'm about to stop, okay? But we find here that hymns are so important to us today. May the Lord help us. Our music has not changed. The same values now as they were in the beginning. I thank God today for the church. May God help us to keep it a church. To keep it church. Keep it church. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the word of God you've given us. Lord, there's so much that your word tells us about the church. But Lord, we thank you today for what we've read. And God, how, Lord, today, Lord, we need to be constantly aware and thankful for the church that we have. Lord, that we can come and worship you together and be fed the word of God and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, have your will and way now in the service we're about to go into. May you lead us and guide us. Bless our preacher. Bless us singing. May all we do honor you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.